we've talked financial health. Then we're going to talk about physical health. And this is quite an interesting one, because this is someone we've spoken to on quite a few occasions, Dr. Saurabh Gupta. He's an interventional gastroenterologist at the SAN. He's talking about a particular procedure that you can have, not necessarily surgical, to try and keep your weight down, but there's also the broader question of gut health. As I say, he's one of the senior people at the Sydney Adventist Hospital. We speak with him regularly on this subject, and let's get into this now. Interventional gastroenterology. Here's the conversation.
Good evening, John.
We've spoken a couple of years about how important your gut is to your overall health, but the idea of losing weight, we know about surgical procedures to help you lose weight. So when we talk non-surgical, what are we specifically talking about?
Yeah, look, very good question. And look, you know, obviously the first thing to note is that obesity and overweight issues have been a big problem in Australia, and it's a growing problem, I mean, pardon the pun, but within adults in Australia, based on the latest available data, 18 and over, 2 out of 3 adults are living with overweight or obesity, and that equates to around 12.5 million adults. You know, so we're dealing with a problem that is increasing, and unless we tackle it, we're going to have a run of other health issues, which naturally flow on from weight problems. And so we've all heard about the surgical or bariatric surgery, which is things like your laparoscopic sleeve, your lap bands they used to use to tighten around the top of the stomach. There's things called bypass surgery. But all of these
That's all surgical, isn't it?
That's
all of that, where you go in and you do surgery to impose these things in the gut, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so they're quite invasive. They can be costly, and there's significant risks associated with those kind of operations. And on the flip side of the coin, there's non-surgical options, which can range from, you know, simple, straightforward measures like we all know about, you know, diet, exercise, improving our cardiovascular health, going to the gym, going for a walk, going for a bike ride. Then the next level up is things like pharmacotherapy, which is medications. And, medications have been around for a long time, but a lot of the traditional medications have had a lot of side effects, and they're only really indicated in short-term use. And people don't carry them on in long term because they don't work very well, and there's a lot of side effects associated with some of these medications. We've seen recently, you know, TikTok sensations like Ozempic and other medications which are injectables, which are not really indicated for weight loss at this present time.
Mm.
But they do work well. So some drugs are evolving as ways to improve weight. But then, as a middle of the non sort of procedural weight loss and bariatric surgery, we've got endoscopic therapies, which is where I really focus and concentrate my work on. And so endoscopic therapies are things like the intragastric balloon, which is a balloon that's placed inside the stomach, and I'll talk about that in a bit more detail. Yep. But also endoscopic sleeve gastroplasty, which is the real new kid on the block. The balloon's been around for 30 plus years. Mm. And we've probably all heard of patients who have had balloons. But the endoscopic sleeve gastroplasty, or the ESG, is a relatively new procedure. It's been around in Australia since 2017, but still considered quite new. And what it is it's a non-surgical approach because it's done endoscopically through a natural opening, which is the mouth. We use a scope like we do to look for people with reflux or investigate, for ulcers, etc. We use a similar technique with that scope. But this has a specialized device attached to the tip of the scope, which we use to create plications within the stomach internally to reduce the stomach volume. And what it does is it reduces the volume of the stomach by up to 75%. Which then equates to us having a smaller capacity, the volume's reduced, but also the motility of the stomach, slows down, which means it doesn't empty as fast as it may have done prior to the procedure. And so we feel fuller for longer, and, you don't have to eat as frequently or as much.
So you do that surgery, and then it's not surgery, it's not actually surgery,
exactly.
Is it?
That's right. That's right. It's an intervention. It's a procedure, but it's a non-surgical procedure. It's done in the endoscopy units where people have come in to have colonoscopies, etc. It involves a one-night hospital stay, but some centres are, you know, are doing it as a day procedure as well. You have the procedure, you go home, you have diet modifications for a few weeks leading up to things to protect the integrity and to improve the effectiveness of the procedure. But yeah, it's not an operation that you need to. You have no cuts on your skin. There's no concerns about lifting or doing any of those other things that people have to worry about after an operation. And best thing about this is you can go back to work the day after or 2 days after. There's no sort of downtime necessary.
And it stays the way that it stays that way. It's a permanent thing, is it?
Look, it is considered a durable procedure. So it's, you know, unfortunately in this sphere where we're seeing that none of these procedures are necessarily permanent, in that we do see weight regain with any of these kind of operations. But we consider the ESG or the endoscopic sleeve as a durable procedure. It's a non-reversible. We don't want it to come up, you know, come loose or come open.
Yeah.
We want it to be durable. We want weight maintenance and weight loss to be a long-term goal.
All right. What about, you mentioned the balloon. There's a similar principle, I guess. It just takes up room in the stomach, so the stomach's got less capacity. Is that right?
Exactly, exactly. And it also acts like a bit of a ball valve. So what it does is food, when you eat, sits sort of above the balloon, and the balloon acts as a slowing mechanism, like a ball valve, to, you know, really slow down how quickly the food can pass around the balloon into the lower stomach and through, and therefore you again feel fuller for longer.
Is the principle here that, for instance, someone who thinks, all right, well, I'm porky, I won't say that.
Yeah.
I'm overweight, I eat a lot of cream buns, I'm just figuring that if I do this, I can keep eating them and not put on weight. It just stops you craving those things, I assume, does it? Because you can't get them in, you can't fit those things into you.
Well, definitely it does reduce your appetite, absolutely. What you eat, though, it won't change that. So you have to, you know, any of these procedures, be it medication, be it endoscopic, be it surgical, they're all considered stepping stones to, you know, lifestyle modifications, to diet modifications.
Yep.
You do need to continue these kind of post-procedure dietary changes. You need to engage in follow-up visits. You need to be, you know, working with your dietitian, your exercise physiologist, etc., because none of these procedures are a standalone. If you have it, you're never going to have another weight problem again, you know. So we do encourage people to continue to engage with their health professionals,
right,
even down the track.
While you're there, I did notice, and it's been talked about a bit, there was conversation earlier today on our network about this, Ozempic, which is for type 2 diabetes. People have started taking it to lose weight, and they're saying, oh yeah, I have lost a lot of weight. I can't imagine you're going to be an advocate for that.
Well, actually, John, it's very interesting you bring that up. I mean, Ozempic and other drugs like that, which are considered, well, they're in a class of drug called a GLP-1 analog, which is a hormone manipulating medication, and it's very good in diabetes. And in fact, this class of drug has been used in diabetes for some years now.
Yes.
And they did see as an associated effect of this drug that people were losing weight, which often isn't the case with things like insulin and other medications that they used to use for diabetes, which resulted in weight gain. So then we, you know, the companies looked at this and thought, well, this would be a fantastic weight loss drug, and hence let's put it out there for the population with overweight and obesity and see how it works. So there have been numerous studies on Ozempic and similar agents, which have shown some really, really promising good results.
Okay.
And in fact, results that are almost equating to the kind of weight loss you do see from both some of the endoscopic and some of the surgical options. So I think in the future we will see overweight and obesity being dealt with like we see other chronic health conditions, with a sort of what we call a multifactorial way. You know, there's not just a one size fits all and one treatment fits all. You know, if you've got complex blood pressure issues or complex other health issues, you're often on multiple treatments, and we should really consider overweight and obesity in the same way.
Okay, but with that, if you are going to be inclined to use it, you go and talk to your GP about it, don't you? It's obviously
100%.
Okay, and just broadly on gut health, because this is your bag.
That's
if you're feeling a bit, so much of you, you're feeling a bit off, tired, whatever it might be, can be traced. I think we talked about this before, to the health of your gut. How can you assess that? What do you do?
I think the gut health comes from multiple, factors that contribute to your gut health. And obviously, some of them we've talked about already, which include what you're putting in. Mm. And I think that's the biggest factor, you know. If you're putting in badness, you're going to end up with badness, you know. So we really try to focus on patients' diets. We look at, you know, are they having enough fiber in the diets? Because fiber is one of those things that really does promote good gut health. It's sort of considered the best prebiotic, if you want to use that kind of term. We've all heard about probiotics, which are the kind of good bacteria people want to try to put in their gut, but they don't necessarily work particularly well. So good gut health starts with what you're putting in. And if you have plenty of fiber in the diet, you have a good complex diet, that's going to promote good gut health, good intestinal health. But exercise, having plenty of fluids, all of those kind of things will contribute to keeping your digestion in good order. And then obviously minimizing the bad things that we all know upset you, like smoking and too much alcohol.
Okay. Yeah. And to what we talked about earlier, the endoscopic sleeve gastroplasty, for anyone who is inclined to look at that as a possibility, again, first port of call would be your GP.
100%. So, look, you always talk to your sort of trusted general practitioner who's going to, you know, give, and some of them may not have heard too much about it, so you can always reach out. I mean, yep. Google is amazing these days. You can just get on and, find anything you want online.
What it is, yeah, of course.
And so look, it's worth doing that because, sometimes the general practitioners haven't necessarily heard a lot about it. But, yeah, you will want to talk to them about it so that they can point you in the right direction and obviously deal with other associated issues that may need to be worked through.
Great to talk to you again tonight. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, John.
There he is, Dr. Saurabh Gupta. He is an interventional gastroenterologist for the Sydney Adventist Hospital. Fascinating, that endoscopic sleeve gastroplasty. I think I got that out okay.